Welcome to episode 463 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Elizabeth had the opportunity to travel to Scotland, the land of kilts and haggis, and she's here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. Woo-hoo! I'm kind of jelly. This is one of the few European destinations that I'm actually interested in going to. So
yes, and you absolutely should.
100%. Yeah, but it has to be in August because the whole goal is to see the Royal Military Tattoo.
Oh, not the Fringe Festival?
No.
But that's George doesn't strike me as the Fringe Festival kind of guy.
It is, but you can time it. The tattoo runs a little bit later, longer than the Fringe Festival. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that Edinburgh at that time is just a zoo. So
yeah. You'd love paying that much for a hotel. That would make you so happy. Yeah.
Yep. So why Scotland? I know you've been there before.
But I was a wee bairn, a wee lass. I was 25, so that is a quarter of a century ago, plus a little bit.
Oh God, why'd you have to say that?
Uh-huh, right? I kind of needed to go back. And when I was there for the Fringe Festival. I was just there for a few days. It's actually part of a larger tour. And it was when I was with the theater company that, we were there for the first couple of days of Fringe, and then we went on our merry way. And most of the time for that trip was in England, not in Scotland. So I've never been to the Highlands. And I really wanted to go. And I mean, the company name is Outlander Travel. I can't have not been to Scotland in 25 years with a name like that. So, I don't watch the show as religiously as one might think that one would, but I am familiar with it. We did not have a goal of seeing, you know, the shooting locations or those particular castles. I was much more interested in seeing other things that I knew from my childhood, like, you know, where they filmed Monty Python, and seeing the William Wallace Memorial and things like that. So, so Outlander factored into it, but it wasn't the primary impetus. And this was a family vacation. So it was my family and then another family that we'd like to travel with, old friends of ours. So it was kind of a little reunion and a chance for us all to be together as well. So we all, you know, the other family that I went with, I met when I was working in the libraries. We were very literary focused. And so that was sort of our draw to go back.
So when you thought up the whole trip, what type of travel did you select? Because we know there's a whole lot you can do, guided tours and self-drive tours, or you can just book your own hotels and do it on your own. Which one did you pick and why?
Well, I would never do that because I'm a travel agent, so I always use my travel agent, who's me. I wasn't exactly sure how to organize things, so I actually kind of cheated. So we didn't want to. We did look at a couple of escorted tours, but there were 10 of us going, and that's a lot of spaces to find on a trip unless you book it super early. And then you're really tied to their dates. And for us, we had certain dates because we were working with school schedules and, you know, athletic schedules and things like that. So we didn't have a lot of flexibility in when we could go. The other family literally only had a week that they could go. Saturday to Saturday, kind of, Saturday to Sunday, I think technically is what it ended up being, this one week in July. So I dug around and found a couple of itineraries that I kind of liked, and I completely cheated, and I assure you, travel agents do this all the time to a certain extent. Instead of really mapping it out myself, I took an itinerary from a very popular company that we all love, Adventures by Disney, and I said, oh, this is such a great itinerary. If only it costs a little bit less, it's pretty much exactly what we want to do. And ironically, it was exactly the right dates for what we wanted to do, but the cost was a little high. And so I looked at it, I was like, well, is the cost high because it's everything that I want to do? And that's just how much it costs. But they do stay in 5-star hotels. And so I was mm-hmm. like, we do not have to stay at the Waldorf Astoria in Edinburgh. We can cut that back a little bit. And then there were a few things that they do that are really nice to do that we didn't necessarily need. Private tea on the Royal Britannia. I absolutely want to see the Royal Britannia. That was one huge thing I wanted to do. I do not have to have a private tea on board. Would that be cool? Absolutely. Do I need to pay for that? No, I do not. They also include a visit to a farm just on the border of England and Scotland. They take a day trip out. And I didn't necessarily feel like that was something I'd miss out on, but I did want to see Rosslyn Chapel, which is a very important building in the Da Vinci Code. It's where the last scene takes place. It's sort of the culmination. And it's a beautiful old chapel on private property. And so I wanted to do that instead. That's not nearly as expensive as taking a bus trip out to the borders. So little ways like that where I was like, I know I want to do this, and I don't necessarily need to do this thing. And so I worked with a tour company that puts together itineraries for groups. And I said, here's ideally what I want to do. What can you do? And I need it to cost about this much or less. And to their credit, and I love working with them as a vendor, they did a great job putting together the trip. And it was pretty much, I got the itinerary back. I was like, yes, this is exactly what I want. So she put us in a less expensive hotel in Edinburgh, but still in the middle of things, and more on that in a moment, right in the middle of things. But then she actually put us at the same hotel that Adventures by Disney was at. And when I say the dates lined up, they were checking in when we were checking in. Like the Adventures by Disney bus pulled up with all their, you know, finery. But like they had a private show with Scottish dancers and bagpipers that we were not invited to in the hotel, right? That would have been lovely to do. And did I feel a little FOMO? Sure. But that's an additional cost that we just didn't need to have. We did get a dinner show. We actually went to one sort of storytelling and whiskey tasting event in Edinburgh. And then also in Edinburgh, we did a sort of a very touristy, you know, Scottish bag. There was a bagpiper, a very good one, by the way, a couple of vocalists and some instrumentalists. And as they sort of talked through the history of Scotland. So we got sort of, it was at the museum. So it was sort of a history / cheesy touristy show, dinner show. So we got that. We got the sword dancing and all of that stuff. So that's how I put it together. And I'm very proud of it. It was way too busy. But I don't regret anything that we did. Like, I'm glad we did all the things, but I was exhausted by the time we finished that trip. So it's definitely possible to put a little too much into a trip.
So Edinburgh, what were the highlights for you?
So we did a lot there. First of all, our hotel was in the Grassmarket area, which is a great place to be, right around the corner from the castle. Like you could see, we actually had a castle view from our room. However, as ideal as that, when we pulled up, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. There was no air conditioning, so you needed to leave your windows open. And when you leave your windows open, it's the Grassmarket is a bunch of bars and restaurants. And then on top of that noise, The Who was playing at the castle. So we heard every word. It was so funny because we were coming back from dinner and I'm like listening to the music. I'm like, that is the best cover band I have ever heard, ever. We got back to the room and Chris looked up. He was like, no, that's The Who. Like, that's Roger Daltrey that you're hearing right there. He's still got it too, let me tell you. So that was very cool. I'm kind of waiting. I'm assuming that there were cameras, like maybe they filmed it because The Who doesn't play very often anymore. And it was at the castle. It was on where they do the tattoo, that stadium. So it must have been totally cool to be there. But we were almost there. We heard every word. Yeah, we could hear every word. So we did not sleep well at Edinburgh, I will say. The location was ideal, but loud. Had I realized that, we would have A, brought a fan, and B, earplugs. So,
Hey, but you got a free concert.
I got The Who.
With The Who, yes.
Yeah, with The Who. It wasn't just some concert. It was The Who. We did do, upon arrival, we did a Harry Potter tour, which was really cute. It was mostly in the cemetery near Greyfriars Bobby. That's a place that J.K. Rowling used to walk a lot. And so there are character names that were pulled from there. Thomas Riddle, there's a grave for Thomas Riddle. It wasn't the Thomas Riddle from the book. That's how she got the name. So a few names like that. There's a school right off of there that was the what's the word I'm looking, inspiration for Hogwarts, the houses, and, you know, it has four houses and the totally different names, of course, but same colors. So that was kind of cool to see sort of the real life, like imagining a writer looking through a writer's eyes and seeing these things and how they sort of inspire a story. So that was interesting. Our tour guide was in robes. We were clearly the least Harry Potter fans that he's ever had. We like Harry Potter. We're all book people, but we're not like, you know, we're not walking around advertising what house we're in or whatever, but it was really cool. Cool little tour. So that was fun. We did do a ghost tour. I've heard wonderful things about the ghost tours in Edinburgh. Edinburgh is one of the most haunted cities on earth. And of course, there are these closes down underground where basically the city has been built up on top of these other areas. And so there's lots of, it's very spooky down there and everything. We didn't go to Mary King's Close, which is the most famous. I just said that wrong. What is it? Queen. It's not Queen Mary. What is it? Mary. It is Mary King's Close. Is that right? But anyway, there's another one that this tour company actually owns the rights to. And so we were the only ones down there. That was pretty cool. And they told spooky stories. It was cheesy, but not so cheesy. And it did have real history to it. We learned a lot about Edinburgh and how it grew as a city. And then we did do the Royal Yacht Britannia. It's about about 20 minutes outside of the center of the city. But that's one mistake that the woman who helped me make the itinerary said. She was like, you'll just need an hour there. That is false. It was 2 hours and we still had more to see. And we were like, we got to go because we had to be at the castle at noon. So
what is the Royal Yacht Britannia? I'm thinking of like encyclopedias.
No. Britannia is Britain. Have you seen The Crown?
That was what I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen The Crown?
No.
Okay. So the Royal Yacht Britannia was the royal yacht from 1950 something, I think, until it was decommissioned 20 or 30 years ago, I think, maybe.
80s, and so now it's
Is it the 80s? Okay. You know, 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, Diana was on it. So it was still in commission when Diana and Charles were together, but I don't know if it was for the whole time they were together. Oh, well, no. Kate and William had been on it. So that would be like 90s, maybe early 2000s. Anyway. George is looking it up. So it was the Royal Yacht. And for a long time, that was how they got around. Like when they would do their tour of the world to see all of the empire, they would go on this yacht. When was it, George?
1997, much later than I thought.
Okay. So 97, almost 2000. So it's like a house. I mean, it's a yacht. So living quarters, the Queen's writing desk, you know, it's very full dining table. It's really nice and very interesting historically. So now it's docked outside of Edinburgh and it's a museum. And you get almost full access to it. We were amazed at how many bars were on this yacht. There was like bars for every level of officer on the ship.
That's why it was taking you so long.
Well, no, they were all dry at that point, but, no, so 2 hours and we were still, but just because I'm such an Anglophile and you know, that history is just so interesting to us. We were reading all the things and then suddenly it's like, oh, we got to go. So I would, if you are an Anglophile or if you're very interested in that, that particular ship, allow more time because it's 4.5-5 decks of things to see. So that was super cool. We did high tea at the Witchery right outside the castle, which was lovely and ideal because it had been raining that day. So it gave us a chance to get out of the rain and enjoy cakes and scones and clotted cream and real tea. It was so nice. It was so classy. We had our pinkies up and everything. And we also went out to Stirling Castle, which is one of the places where they filmed Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And you can clearly see where the Frenchman taunted you again. It's obvious as soon as you see it, you're like, oh my gosh, that's where the Frenchman is. he's going to taunt me a second time. So we had a lot of fun with that.
And your brother smelled of elderberries.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, we have some great pictures from that. And the castle itself is really interesting. And Stirling is actually a cute little town. I would have liked to have spent a little bit more time there as well. So, and the William Wallace Memorial is not far from there either. We didn't do that. It's like 286 steps. It's a big tower. And it's like 286 steps to the top. So that's a no from me, dog. But
great movie, though.
Other people could do it. Yeah. Apparently, it's a beautiful view. So those were my highlights, which is pretty much everything we did. Enjoyed it. And only got really rained on one day.
That's pretty good. I am surprised the Bretagne is there. I would not have thought it would have been in Scotland. Just
somewhere
closer to London,
Scotland,
much I guess.
To their chagrin, is still part of the English territories, part of Great Britain.
Yep.
They keep trying to leave, but so far.
How did the teenagers like all of this stuff? Because I can tell you
honestly,
were very excited.
Honestly, they really liked it. I mean, in fact, Marcus loves taking silly pictures. He took all sorts of great pictures all through Edinburgh, and then we got to Germany, and he was like, oh, "There's no fun pictures to take here." on the yacht, they didn't know everything they were looking at. Well, first there's a Rolls Royce that used to sail on the yacht as well. Funny story about that is they had to take the bumper off of it to fit it in the parking space that they had for it on the ship because it was so long. They also had a Jeep that could go on the ship, so depending on where they were going. Seeing the Rolls Royce was really cool. And of course the ship is older, so it's got like telephones, you know, instead of, you know, so you pick up the phone. And so it was really interesting to him to see sort of the way equipment has changed, you know, that was all very interesting. Mm-hmm. Finley as well. They liked it. They didn't seem bored at all. You can see the bunk beds and see, you could lay down in one and see, you know, Marcus is 6'2", so his feet were hanging off the edge of the bed. And it was really fun. There were lots of things to do, lots of ways to interact with things on the ship. So
cool.
So next stop looks like it was.
Go ahead.
Who doesn't
sorry.
Love a good castle?
Right, exactly.
So next stop was Inverness. I see whiskey.
Yep. Because you cannot go to Scotland and not have whiskey. Even you would be forced to try whiskey at some point.
I'd be more than happy to.
It's such a part of the culture that you pretty much have to do it. There is a whiskey museum in Scotland if you want to go that route. There's distilleries dotting the countryside everywhere. So we went to the Blair Atoll distillery. I asked her to suggest a distillery in the Pitlochry area. That there's a few good ones there. And this is a nice one because they do have a lot of stuff that they don't sell to the public. And they have a really nice tour there as well. So we did our whiskey tasting on the way up to Inverness. We did, because we were a group, we had a there were 10 of us. It was like a 16 passenger van. So we had a lot of space in the van and a driver who could take us around. So that was really nice. We could sort of stop when we needed to. And, so we did that on the way up, and then we, were in Inverness for the last half of the week. And so we stayed at a hotel that wasn't really downtown. I'm kind of sad about that because downtown Inverness is so cute. And I will say that people hear Inverness, and that's where they really think of Outlander, because that's where the Outlander story starts. It's in Inverness and just outside of Inverness. However, we were told in our storytelling experience in Inverness that the cast of the show can no longer actually come to Inverness because they get mobbed by crazy fans. Like, people will come to Inverness in full costume, with cardboard cutouts of Jamie in hand. They're just like crazy. And so none of the cast members really feel comfortable in Inverness anymore on a regular basis. It's kind of sad, actually. And ironically, the show wasn't filmed in Inverness. The scenes that take place in Inverness were filmed elsewhere in Scotland, because Inverness is much more of a city now. So to get that sort of older, small, you know, turn of the early 20th century look, you would need to go elsewhere. So they do. So yeah, it's kind of sad, actually.
And I feel like I need to watch the show.
Yeah, it's, well, or read the books. I mean,
the books are great. I listened to half of the first book back whenever you started the agency. And for whatever reason, you know what? I wasn't listening to it. I was reading it. And that's a big book. And I didn't get mm-hmm. through it. And I never went back to it. I don't know why. It was good. I guess I was looking at how many more there were, and I was like, yeah. Oh my goodness.
I think the first book is great. And if you have trouble with the sort of Scottish brogue that's in there sort of spelled phonetically out, it's great to listen to on audiobook. The woman who narrates those books is really good. And she captures the Scottish without you having trouble understanding it. And honestly, that's the other thing about Scotland. The history of this country is so interesting. And for such a long time they were completely forbidden from their history at all, because the whole Jacobite rebellion and everything that Outlander centers on, that history is huge. Like, you cannot even imagine. People were cast off their land. That's a lot of the reason we have the Scottish in North America, and even in parts of Ireland, they had to flee from their land that they rightfully owned, because they were basically kicked out of the country. They were forbidden from speaking their language. They were forbidden from wearing kilts. So definitely getting a storytelling experience where you get to really hear the history, it is really enlightening. I don't know that, because I grew up understanding so much about Scottish history. I mean, I know what kilts are. I know that they speak this form of Gaelic that is very unique to them. I know about the haggis. I know all of that stuff. But that wasn't even really known until the 50s. Like, there was a period of time there for years where that was really trying to be shut down. And it finally was sort of reborn, and you know, the world said, oh, okay, it's okay. You can have your history. And so they're sort of almost still rebuilding and, you know, teaching their kids the language and sort of trying to bring all that back. So some of the things that we know, the bagpipes, they weren't allowed to play the bagpipes. What's more Scottish than the bagpipes? I mean, can you imagine? Yeah. But for years they weren't allowed to play. So, going up to the Highlands was really a smart thing to do. I think Edinburgh is lovely. And if you really just have a short period of time and you just can get up into Scotland and then have to get back out again. But if you're going to Scotland, going up to the Highlands, you have to. It's so beautiful. It's so poetic. It's so magical. And so my next trip, I want to make sure I get out to like the Orkney Islands and some of the islands, because there wasn't enough time to do that. But Inverness was such a good jumping off point. And we went to Leakey's Bookshop, which is a legendary bookstore. And when you think about like used bookstores, this is the model for used bookstores, with books all the way up to the ceiling, you know, two stories worth of, you know, shelves, just, and organized but not organized. You could just get lost in there and be there for hours and hours and maybe days if somebody fed you. And then also from there we went out and did the Jacobite train, which actually I'm not sure is running right now. The Jacobite train is the one that's in Harry Potter, that where they go over that bridge, sort of the aqueduct thing, that famous scene. So it's very popular both for Harry Potter fans, and also it's a historical train. So that was a big must do on my list. You can have high tea on the train if you're in first class. It goes out to this little village on the coast that there's nothing there. Literally, there's nothing there. And then you can come back. If you are smart, you can go out and see puffins. Like, you can take a little day cruise out there in the 2 hours that you're there. We weren't smart. We thought we were going to find a pub. There's only one, and it has like four chairs. So we did sit there, because we were determined. But the train was really cool. We did find out that we were the last run of that train. For as far as I know, until now, I don't know if it's started running again, but they found a safety issue with the doors, where if you leaned against the doors, they would open. Mm. So the train could be moving and you could fall out. So we were the last ones in July to do it. And if it's reopened, that's great. I hope it does. But
it says it is.
Yeah. Okay, good. Does it say when it reopened?
No, it just says we're pleased to announce that the Jacobite service is back up and running on our morning and afternoon services. Oh, 21st of August. So just a couple weeks.
Yeah, I was like, because I just looked a couple weeks ago and it wasn't running. So yeah. It must have been heartbreaking for the people who were the day after us. Can you imagine? I mean, I just can't even imagine. Yeah. I'm so glad that we got to do it. I'm also glad that we didn't fall out of the train.
Did the Adventures by Disney people get to do it?
Believe it or not, that is not included on the Adventures by Disney itinerary because of the whole Harry Potter thing. So it is a little bit further out from it. Like I was told that it's about an hour and a half to get to the train station and then an hour and a half back. So that's a long day because then you take the train for 2 hours out to this little town. You sit in the little town for 2 hours, then you take the train back for 2 hours. So it's a pretty full day.
Wait, but sit in a town for 2 hours that only has one pub with four chairs?
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, might have planned it differently had I known that. There were like two stores. There was an ice cream shop. It's a really sleepy little town. But it's on the coast, so I got to see the coast.
There's a lot of like opportunity there for somebody who wants to open a pub.
I thought the same thing. I thought the exact same thing. Like, you could actually open a World's End pub right here because it's the World's End right here.
Or so, like,
All right, Sandy, let's do it.
That's a great idea, right?
Yeah. I thought I had the same thought as I sat in that pub. I was like, I can open a pub here. Anyway, my favorite activity and the kids' favorite activity from this whole trip was we went out to Rothy Mercus. And this is, again, not something that was on the Adventures by Disney. They do have a falconry activity. And that's what I went to the trip planner that I was working with. And I said, we really want to do something with the animals. And she said, oh, I have the perfect place. So it's this stretch of land that is sort of convert. I'm not going to say it's a park, but I guess it is kind of a park. They have a lot of land where they take in deer, the red deer. And so you can feed the deer. These are deer that need rescuing or help in one way or another. And they're trying to keep them alive. Because it's a unique, the red deer is sort of a big thing in Scotland. The hairy coo, which coo is cow, the hairy cow. You've seen them. They've got like bangs. They're hairy. And they're cows. They're great. So you can do a hairy coo safari. So we did that. We did a falconry experience, which was basically the birds coming out and sitting on our arms or on our heads. And the guy who led that was hilariously funny and amazingly loving with these birds. You could tell they were really well taken care of. And they were very much about only having the birds do the things that birds really do. So they had one bird that was kind of crazy that would just run around on the ground. He was like, he's kind of worthless, but we love him. And he would just come out and run around and sort of go wherever he wanted to go. Like he wasn't forced to do anything. So really that was by far our favorite day. And there wasn't enough space on the hairy coo safari. So a few people actually did clay shooting instead, which is so very British. And they had a blast and none of them had ever, I mean, I think only one of them had really shot a gun before. So they were taught that, you know, they had people there to help them and they kept score. And I mean, they had such a great day and that was pretty much a full day out there. We loved every minute of it. It was really, really fun. And that was actually something that was kind of like, this will probably be cool. It was amazing, amazing. And apparently they do have this great reputation. A few people that I talked to afterwards were like, oh, I've been wanting to go out there. I've heard great things about it. They're very much about conservation and that sort of thing. So it was sort of a nice feel good moment as well.
I've shot skeet before. I couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Honestly, I mean, I did want to see the hairy coo, but I also knew that I would have probably shot someone instead of the skeet. I was like really worried that I'd end up killing somebody while I was in
I've done it before Scotland, on like so. An outing called drinking and shooting, but the shooting came first and then we went to a brew pub after.
it was fun. Shooting and drinking.
Yeah, but it was called drinking and shooting. Maybe it was called shooting and drinking. I don't know. Anyways, like some combination of that, but
yeah, no.
It's pretty cool.
No, I mean, it's the same thing as like axe throwing. People are like, I'm going to go to the bar and throw an axe. I'm like, that sounds like a really bad idea.
I've seen too many videos of those bouncing back at you.
I know, right?
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So that was sort of my thought with the,
yeah,
with the skeet shooting. I'm like, I've never done this before. I don't know how well I would do. And I don't really want to kill anybody, including myself. So I'll just go look at some hairy coo. And I was glad to do that. They're very cute and fuzzy. So, and very Scottish. I mean, it was, it honestly, the trip from beginning to end was just so wonderfully Scottish. And even though we were in a little van and driving around, I still, and we saw a lot of touristy things, I still feel like I really got a feel for the people and the culture.
So sure. no Loch Ness Monster?
We did go to Loch Ness. We looked. No, she did not appear to us. Yeah, she was hiding. No Nessie. Yeah. No Nessie.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.